The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The Gospel of the Lord.
God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I bring you greetings from Bishop Bruno and from Bishop Glasspool and from the entire diocesan staff. We're here to help you in any way we can. And I'm particularly grateful to be with you all today as I am your area bishop. And I think that you all as a congregation and the clergy here just absolutely rock. I absolutely love coming to St. Croix. People, you are all that and a bag of chips. Now, you may be wondering why I'm here with you today, and your rector is not. Did you notice? Did they tell you I was coming? Well, that ruins the surprise, doesn't it? All right, this is not a formal visitation, though. As your area bishop, during the summer, I give myself away to any one of the 45 congregations I'm responsible for, to free up the clergy to go and experience another form of worship with key lay leaders so that the clergy actually don't have to take a vacation day to do that. And so I tend to do that during the summer when it's a little bit, when I don't have a formal visitation for a Sunday. I'm actually responsible for the southern third of the diocese, so all of Orange County, the South Bay, and then by default, all the Chinese-speaking congregations. And, you know, when I came this morning, Rachel had sent me a note saying that Father Greg would be here with me, and I thought I freed him up too. And then I realized that, no, he's there to make sure I don't get into any trouble. So let's see how much trouble I can get into with this sermon, all right? You with me? Okay, good. So we need to talk about what's really important, which is the gospel message for today. Last week, Peter was declared the rock upon which Christ would build his church. This week, with the first of the passion predictions we find in the gospel according to Matthew, Peter is the stumbling block. You know, in the gospels, you have to love Peter. He's willing to take the risk of speaking what's on his heart. Sometimes it works out for him. Sometimes, like today, well, not too well. It's because you just heard what Jesus said. As soon as Jesus accepted recognition from his disciples as God's Messiah, he began to teach them about the kind of Messiah he would be. What we hear today, and in the weeks to come, will not only be about the kind of Messiah that Jesus was, but what was expected of the Messiah's disciples. And today we hear Jesus' words to the disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Right? That's what we heard. And I was thinking about as I was preparing the sermon, I'm going to St. Croix. The gospel is about the cross. What's the chances I could preach on the first reading and not this one? I thought slim to none, right? Slim to none. It's right there, you got to address it. So, for us, the thought of taking up and bearing one's cross or bearing our designated burdens for the sake of Christ is not a popular thing to do. Indeed, the image of taking up one's cross is difficult for many Christians, let alone non-Christians, to understand. But the custom of wearing a cross as a symbol seems stronger or trendier than ever. Now, my husband and I have two children, and both of them started out at the Jewish Community Center preschool in San Francisco. Our son Max finished all the way through, and then our daughter Jardine, we moved to Southern California as she started there, so she ended up in just a secular preschool down in Orange County. Max was one of the few Christians, we were one of the few Christian families that ended up at the Jewish Community Center preschool. And I forgot to mention this to the 8 o'clock congregation before I go into a little bit more in my text, but on the day that Max graduated from preschool, I looked over and I saw this man sitting, you know, sitting in the audience, a parent, watching his son that was on the stage with my son graduate. And as my son came down to talk to me, Max came to talk to me, I said, "Max, do you know who that man is?" And I pointed to the man, and he goes, "Oh yeah, Ma, that's Zach's dad. He's here every, you know, he's here a lot. That's Zach's dad." It was Robin Williams. So another, a good Episcopalian. And so I thought of him, as I often do. I mean, as I often do whenever I recount the story of who Max's other students were and their families. And for Max, he wasn't Robin Williams. He was Zach's dad. Anyway, with his passing, that has made me think a lot more about our relationships, isn't it? So Robin Williams and the Bruce family were one of the few non-Jewish families at the Jewish Community Center on Arguello Street in San Francisco. And one day I was talking to some of the moms at an event, a fundraiser, and they asked me where I went to temple. I told them I'm a Christian. Well, they also, when they hear the New Jersey accent, they automatically think she's got to be Jewish, right? So they were a Star of David. I always had a cross around my neck. And I said, well, I showed them my cross. And one woman turned and she said to me, "Oh, I saw that around your neck. I just thought you wore that for decoration." Decoration. It's not a decoration. And I think this kind of thinking is even more prevalent today. All kinds of bejeweled crosses appear on everything from around people's necks to clothing to purses to shoes and even in the form of tattoos, permanent crosses on one's body. And traveling around this diocese, I can tell you, I've spotted a lot of cross ink. If the crosses we wear around our necks or that adorned our clothing or bodies, or if they're supposed to remind us of Christ's ultimate sacrifice, what's required from us in all of that? What exactly are we supposed to remember? And how are we supposed to behave? The message of the cross seems diluted today, sometimes nearly lost. And today's gospel, I think, calls us to reclaim its meaning. Increasingly, more people seem open to coming at such symbols from another direction, a less historical approach, in order to understand freshly what's been lost or goes unheard. Sometimes a look again at what's behind a symbol opens us up to new dimensions and mediates against too much thoughtless exposure. Wearing the cross, understanding what that means, is embedded in Jesus' words today. And the bottom line about what it means is that little four-letter word that I hope that you could have guessed before I say it begins with an L, ends with an E, and it is? Oh, thank you. I know you're awake now. Now, I know some of you must be thinking I'm overdoing it when I talk about the cross as love. You might think she's gone over the deep end this time. But I haven't. When I speak about spreading the love of God in Christ, love being the hallmark of our Christian life. But in essence, the whole of our calling to take up the cross is really about love. And loving deeply. Anglican author Evelyn Underhill has written, quote, "Those who complain that they make no progress in the Christian life because they cannot meditate should examine not their capacity for meditation, but their capacity for suffering and love. For there is a hard and costly element, a deep seriousness, a crucial choice in all genuine religion," end quote. And boy, that is so hard for us. And it was hard for the disciples as well. The disciples didn't expect Jesus to say what he did, to be the kind of Messiah he ultimately became and is. Jesus was not what the Jews of his day were expecting in a Messiah. He was something so much better. The common opinion was that the Messiah would be a descendant of David. And like David, he would be a warrior king who would rescue or would secure independence for his people and establish a righteous reign. Among minority opinions, there was an expectation that the Messiah would be a priest. There were also hints, not quite clear enough, to add up to a defined picture that the Messiah would sacrifice himself for his people. Jesus filled in the last picture of this scenario, but the picture of a suffering Messiah was most difficult for the disciples to accept. So Jesus began to teach it to them to help them begin to understand. If they were to follow their master, they must make the hard choice, not the easy one. The disciples of the crucified one were to be like their master. This meant that they were sharers of his life and were to follow him in sacrifice. First of all, they were not to adapt themselves to the customs of a world that was concerned with the here and now and not the hereafter. It had to be more, so much more. We Christians must be different, transformed in our outward behavior, of course, but in our thinking as well. If we're to discern God's will, we need renewed minds. We need to move the cross, the symbol of the cross, from decoration to declaration, from pretty to pertinent. Now, it took me a long time to come up with pretty to pertinent. The decoration to declaration, that one just flew off my lips there. But it took me 20 minutes on an airplane the other day to come up with some other two-word thing that starts with the same letter. Can I do it again? Because I need to really set this home with you. Because it took me, if I have to work that hard, I want you to remember it. All right? We're going to take the symbol from decoration to declaration, from pretty to pertinent. You like that? Pretty to pertinent. You can say that fast, too. That tweets. Do you realize that? That tweets. I just came up with that one. Okay, I need you to tweet that later, Father. Okay. So I think William Pound said it wonderfully when he said, quote, "Our cross is not calamity or experience of sorrow or loss. These are facts of life. It is not trying to live our own shortcomings nor keeping up obligations despite all. Jesus assigned us crosses that we might enter into a self-donating love. Take up love, grasp it, lay hands on it, pour it out without expecting a return." End quote. So take up and on that radical equalizing love of God in Christ. And when you wear one of these crosses, understand that it's the symbol of the most profound and deep love possible, and it's gone from pretty to pertinent, and that you have a role in sharing that love and spreading that love to this broken world, which so desperately, desperately needs it. Amen.